This is the Ethanol Report. Less than 2 weeks after the Environmental Protection Agency denied a petition to waive the renewable fuel standard, the oil and retail food industries are renewing and increasing attacks on the law. I spoke with Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen, who comments on the actions taken this week by the American Petroleum Institute and the National Council of Chain Restaurants. And Bob, you warned us when the waiver was denied that the war wasn't over and that attacks on the RFS you expected were going to continue.
And indeed it is continuing. Big Food and Big Oil have teamed up to try to repeal an important national policy. I don't think that they will succeed, but we will be ever vigilant.
Well, now, the restaurant owners came out with a study that they say shows significant costs because of the RFS, specifically on small business owners and the restaurant owners in particular. Have you had a chance to look at this study, and what's your response to that?
My response is you shouldn't call it a study. It's a book report. All they did was sort of go through previous analyses that have been done, and they cherry-picked those that support the hypothesis that the funders wanted supported and ignored studies that were contrary to that. The peer-reviewed analyses that have been done on this recently have clearly demonstrated that the RFS is not the thing that's driving up food prices. They went back to a study 4 years ago that has been largely debunked that suggested that there was this outsized impact of the RFS on food prices. It has nothing to do with what's happened this year. And to suggest, as they did, that it was the RFS driving food prices this year and not the drought, I'm sorry, is just ridiculous.
Also, it seems like the study kind of ignores the cost of energy in the form of imported oil.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that they've done here is only look at one side of the ledger. What's the impact on grain prices? And you know that only 14% of the price of food is the result of the commodity. The 86% that's remaining is a function of energy and marketing and fuel prices. They didn't look at all that. In so many ways, they were selective in how they approached this issue. And I think ultimately have done themselves a disservice, because this just will not be viewed as having any credibility whatsoever.
And Congressman Goodlatte was on the conference call with the restaurant owners. He indicated he was going to continue to push for legislation in the new Congress, correct?
They most certainly will continue their attacks on Capitol Hill, having failed to get the waiver that they sought from the administration. And they will continue to fight in the courts. We'll see more lawsuits filed by API. They are pulling out all the stops, and they will stop at nothing to try to repeal this program. The problem is they've got to misinform and mislead the public in doing so, and that just will not succeed.
Well, part of the reason we seem to be stepping this up is the success of the RFS in itself and the fact that now we have been approved for E15. And I think it's important to point out that E15, nobody has to sell it, nobody has to use it. That's going to be dependent totally on the response of the marketplace to see how the market works and accepts E15, right?
Absolutely. Big Oil, though, is doing everything they can to intimidate gasoline marketers from offering E15 to the public, but that market will indeed grow organically as the economics of E15 just become too compelling for gasoline marketers to resist. But your point about the success of this program is what's driving this opposition today is absolutely on target, because it's not just that there are new markets out there, there are also new technologies, and they see cellulosic ethanol and other advanced biofuels being made commercially available today. They need to stop this program now before those future technologies are established and we can grab more of the barrel than we are currently doing. So they see this as a critical fight, not so much because they're afraid about corn ethanol, but they do not want to see second generation technologies succeed.
Now, what about API's argument that we really don't need corn ethanol or any kind of cellulosic ethanol because with the new technologies, we can get more out of natural gas? And that's what they seem to be arguing this week, is that we can get more natural gas there, and so we really don't need ethanol.
What they want you to do is to ignore the environmental consequences of fracking and tar sands, and ignore the fact that that continues to keep us dependent on petroleum and the emissions consequences of that. I am indeed one of those all of the above, and I include in that. We ought to be maximizing our production of domestic petroleum resources, but that is not to the exclusion of the investments that we continue to need, or the investments that we will need to continue to make in renewable technologies.
All right, thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.